Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking, I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of New Books in Systems and Cybernetics, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. I'm your host, Tom Scholt, from the University of British Columbia. Regular listeners of this podcast will no doubt be familiar with the name of Raul Espejo, former director of operations of Stafford Beer's famed CyberSyn project under the Chilean government of Salvador Allende in the early 1970s. This episode, the esteemed Dr. Espejo joins us in his role as co-editor of the volume Cybernetics and Systems, Social and Business Decisions, out from Routledge in 2019. By extension, this work is also a reflection of Espejo's role as former director general and now president of the World Organization of Systems and Cybernetics, or WOSC as it is known, as this book is essentially a collection of extended abstracts and mini-papers encapsulating the vast spectrum of cyber-systemic investigations on offer at that organization's 2017 Congress in Rome, which focused largely on policy options across the domains of what contributor Elias G. Karyanis, extending the work of Etzkowitz and Leidesdorf, has dubbed the quadruple helix of innovation, namely education, industry, government, and the media. Grouping the contributions within nine thematic streams, including human aspects of managing systems, sustainability in the Anthropocene, smartness in big data, and democracy, transparency, and social dynamics, the 600-plus pages of this volume provide a panorama of the field of cybersystemics composed of vivid snapshots of rigorous case studies and bold theoretical advances that will surely do much to fire the imaginations and ambitions of researchers and practitioners around the world as they develop their own boundary-defying research agendas. And so, without any further ado, let's turn to my conversation with Raul Espejo. Raul Espejo, welcome to New Books in Systems and Cybernetics. It is such a pleasure to have you on the channel. I have to tell you that you are already somewhat of a living legend on this podcast channel, having spoken of a couple of chapters you've written in some other books in previous interviews. And of course, I had a fantastic interview with Eden Medina about her book, Cybernetic Revolutionaries. So our audience should be familiar with you, but we will start with the usual question that many of us know something about the answer. But can you tell our listeners a little bit about how you came to an engagement with cybernetics and just a little bit about the trajectory of your career from your starting out to your current position as the director of the World Organization of Systems and Cybernetics and all the other things along the way, Cinco, your consulting firm, and some of your teaching positions, etc.?
Well, I think that's going to take a long while. Never mind.
All right, you'll give the Coles notes.
I will. Yeah. Now, the starting point was my engineering studies at the Catholic University in Chile, where I became aware of Stafford Beer's work and Ross Ashby. And that was the beginning of a long journey, which started soon after I finished my studies, with inviting Stafford Beer to Chile and to start with the CyberSyn project that your listeners, I'm sure, know about, and particularly having you interview Eden Medina. So at that time, I became, for reasons that would take a long while to explain, I became the operational manager of this project. And as time went by, I became more and more involved in its development. That project was the beginning of my work in cybernetics, which after the coup in 1973 led me to go to the United Kingdom and work with Stafford for quite a long while. And from there is that I went to different places like the International Institute for Applied Systems Analysis in Luxembourg, Vienna, and from there to Aston University in the United Kingdom, where in its science park I formed the company Synco. Synco was intended to be a platform to offer organizational cybernetics to the wider world. And in that company, I worked with many organizations, going from typical large corporations in the private sector to the government institutions, particularly in Colombia, where I worked with the National Audit Office, and for 4 years, in fact, in the late 90s. And from there is that I got involved with the World Organization of Systems and Cybernetics, which was created by Professor Rose in the United Kingdom in 1969, and therefore we are this year celebrating, oh gosh, this 50th anniversary. So the 50th anniversary of the World Organization of Systems and Cybernetics, and from there is that I've been getting involved deeper and deeper in its development organization. Originally, I was director general of the organization, and later on in 2017, when we were in Rome, I was elected president of the organization. So at the moment, I'm president of the World Organization of Systems and Cybernetics, and organizing the next Congress, which is going to happen hopefully in Moscow in 2020. So that gives you a brief exposure to my work and the way I've been evolving over these years.
Thank you very much. And as someone who was fortunate enough to be at the Congress in Rome in 2017, it was a tremendous event, full of incredibly stimulating discussion and presentations. And it was a real honor and a privilege to be part of it, and very much looking forward to Moscow in 2020. Can you say just a little bit more about WASC? It's funny because as I've gone to different conferences and gotten to know different organizations in this field, it feels as if each one has its own particular slant in terms of the wider array of philosophies, and that each one almost has its own sort of patron saint, so to speak. I mean, the American Society for Cybernetics and its focus on second order cybernetics, it's definitely Heinz von Förster's shadow is over everything. Operational, the OR Society in the UK, again, there's a lot of variety in there, but, you know, Peter Checkland and SSM, you know, obviously stemming from Lancasterism. I would say that my sense of WASC, and I don't think just because you happen to have been its director general and now president, is that Stafford Beer and the viable system model seems to be the kind of bedrock of WASC. As it's a big tent organization. There's lots of different approaches and philosophies represented, but it seems to me as if the VSM and Stafford Beer sort of provide the kind of bedrock of the organization. Do you think that's a fair assessment on my part?
I think it is. Originally, this organization had its roots in Norbert Wiener, in fact. And Norbert Wiener was the honorary president of WASC, very much at the beginning in 1969. But after that, Stafford became the president of WASC, and he was president for a number of years until he died in 2002. So, at that point is that I started to get more involved in these, and that led me to, in 2011, to become more involved in its development. Now, WASC is very much about organizational cybernetics. So, as you well know, there are a whole range of streams coming into cybernetics, going from the more technological to the aspects of second-order cybernetics, as you recognized. And in this case, in WASC, I think the idea, because of the strong influence of Stafford, organizational cybernetics has been its major direction. And that's where we get most of our strength. Now, but when we organize these events, as the one you participated in 2017, the idea is not to overemphasize the viable system model. The idea is to have a broad church of cybernetics. And as you realized when you were there, the ideas of second-order cybernetics had a very significant contribution to the Congress. We had a good group of people from the United States, Stuart Amplevy in particular, but also from Russia with Vladimir Lepsik. And in general, we have had second-order cybernetics as an important contributor. But we also had very important contributors in aspects of governance, in aspects of Anthropocene, in aspects of all the social aspects of cybernetics. So it's not only the viable systems. It is a much broader sense, and that's what we want to emphasize as we move ahead into WASC 2020.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the things I very much appreciated about the Congress and about the organization in general, is this sense that cybernetics and systems are on an equal footing in this group. And even though cybernetic contributions are welcome at something like the International Society for System Sciences, it's still a system sciences organization that has cybernetic components. This, as you see from the name of the organization and from the very title of this book, it's one of the rare places where you see both terms sort of presented on equal footing, and very much two pillars of equal strength in the organization and in the proceedings, which is fabulous.
You are very much right in that, and that's one of the reasons we talk about cyber systemics. Mm-hmm. So we are not only emphasizing cybernetics, but we are moving very strongly into the systemic aspects. And as you know, we had aspects of social cybernetics, social systems. We had aspects of dynamic systems, and we were trying to emphasize the complementarity between a holistic view of society and a deep understanding of the mechanisms that help these holistic appreciations of systems operate in the world in which we work.
Mm-hmm. So So there have been, that was, I think, the 17th Congress, right? So there have been many Congresses, and I imagine also many publications to come out over the years connected to WASC and its activities. But what made, what were the confluence of things that came together to produce this particular volume from that Congress? It's essentially, it's a book of abstracts, but it's more than that, because many, if not most of the abstracts really feel like traces of an entire paper. There's a discussion section, conclusion section. So it really is not just, you know, for listeners out there, I need you to know, it's not just going to tease you with just the abstracts. You get substantial view of most of the major contributions. And it gives such an incredible snapshot, not only of the exciting activity that took place at that Congress, but in a sense, the state of the field of cyber systemics as you've described it. But what was the confluence of ideas, either in terms of interest from Rutledge or a sense of urgency around this particular Congress and its themes, or what were really came together to say, this is, we're going to produce a major work coming out of this particular Congress?
Very interesting question, that, because we had several contributions, as you know, to the Congress. And at the end of the Congress, we talked about the dissemination of the ideas of the discussions. And we got, as a result of that, three different journals interested in publishing the most developed papers of the Congress. And in fact, we have the Sustainability Journal, we have Kubernetes, and we have Futures, three journals which have given us the platform to publish about 40 papers, which is quite a substantial contribution. But in addition to that, we knew that we had many useful contributions of a number of people who had joined us. And the group, the Italian group, was particularly significant in trying to connect all these contributions in one publication. And that is the reason they were very instrumental in getting Rutledge Italy to support the publication of this book. So it is something we have to thank them for, being the ones who put all the effort in getting the support of Rutledge.
Mm-hmm. And we've got, of course, your co-editors, Sergio Barile, Maria Luisa Saviano, Francesco Caputo, all also featured very prominently in the work itself. The number of papers that these three people, through various combinations yes. and collaboration, have their fingers in, and not repetition either. The fertility of the ideas coming out of the Italian group is remarkable. I wonder if you might say,
you are very right in that, and I want to highlight that the work of the Italian group is very special. They work in a collaborative fashion. They have a significant number of scientists and students coming together, and that is something that can be recognized in the book and the many abstracts that they produced. But I have to emphasize that the book is not dominated by their contributions. It is an important part of the book, but there are contributions from all over the world, and we have very good presentations and short abstracts, as it is the case of your own contribution to the Congress. So, and as you know, in addition, together with you, were very instrumental in getting a group of Latin American people producing papers around the ideas of acting and second-order cybernetics and the aspects that you personally contributed to the Congress.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate those kind words. Thank you. So speaking of the Italians, so Sergio Barile, very instrumental in the Congress itself and also a figure, as you say, amongst many. I mean, there's strong representation from Slovenia, Albania, all kinds of countries bringing their own particular issues and situations forward. Sergio Barile, his name is associated with something called the viable systems approach. So not the VSM, but the VSA, obviously with its roots in the VSM. Is there anything you can tell me or tell our listeners about the VSA and how it's grown out of the VSM and its sort of influence across this group of Italians?
Yeah, that was the origin of our conversation with Sergio Barile and Maria Luisa Saviano. Both of them were very interested in making a good connection between the approach they had been working in for a long time and Stafford's work, which is what they actually produced and offered in the Congress. The key ideas of the viable systems approach are resonance and consonance. So these are two key ideas that they have connected to the internal operations of the system and the interactions of the system with environment. And for these two concepts, they develop aspects of variety and connections with the ideas of Ashby and Stafford. So, but they are on the whole, they are very strongly related to policy processes and increasing the contribution of systems thinking to organizations in Italy, and that's where they have had their major input.
Mm-hmm. And yes, and policy is very, very pronounced in this book, and it's one of the things that makes it so rich to read, because so many of the things that we've seen, you know, developed and restated sometimes with greater precision, but are largely theoretical in a lot of the publications. It gets very, very concrete with some of these, not just from the Italians, but these other societal, social case studies from all over the world in very, very concrete ways, very specific recommendations about policies and procedures.
And very much the connection as well with technology. So you have systems thinking, technology, and cybernetics coming there. One of the contributions of Barile and Saviano with others was the significance of 3D printing in the development of health services worldwide, so that you can actually change the overall structure of health services by reducing variety on the one hand in terms of the kind of medications that you recommend, but at the same time you increase variety by going to the individuals, and you can produce their medications at a very personal level. So their contribution, that's one of the papers that is published in Futures, by the way. Their contribution is one that I think shows how to connect policy making, connect the ideas of variety, the ideas of managing large systems like the health service, and producing through that a good understanding or an improved understanding of services that we use all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you're absolutely correct to point us to the idea that technology and its potential for realizing some of the cyber systemic governance mechanisms that have been developed is really key. So there's nine major themes that a vast amount of contributions, and this book is over 600 pages. It's a real feast. And we'll talk about some of those themes. Maybe we won't be able to cover all of them, but I want to start with the first theme, since we've been sort of talking about this major contribution by this Italian group, Barile, Saviano, and others. The first theme is titled Human Aspects of Managing Systems. And it's very fascinating because it's, as much as there's the technological emphasis throughout the book and throughout the Congress, this idea of things like very what are traditionally non-scientific terms like mercy, and just the idea of bringing in senses of ethics, senses of attempts to connect across differences, and these what are often thought of as softer kinds of things, but they get an entire very rich a stream at this Congress devoted to them. So is there anything you want to tell us about your sense of how human aspects of managing systems play out in the Congress, in the book, and just your general thoughts about that at this moment of the early and still fairly early in the 21st century?
I think it was one of the themes that, in my view, gave a connection of the general aspects, human aspects of managing systems to the rest of the themes in this book and in the Congress, of course. Mm-hmm. So that in there you can see that human aspects like ethics you are mentioning there, but also related to knowledge and organization and to smartness and big data. All these aspects were mentioned in the contributions to this first theme of the Congress. So, and you can see if you go to the introduction to the book, you will see that there are connections that are provided from this particular theme to basically most of the other themes. So,
knowledge and organization,
and big data, systems thinking and system dynamics, and you get discussions that are connected to strategies to remain competitive and to gain legitimacy, and in that sense start to get connected to the viable systems approach and model. Mm-hmm. So, and they talk about requisite holism, and that is something that in the end shows how the human aspects of managing systems is something that includes most of the other aspects of this book.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. And this is the part I really like. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning. You simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is the solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. Head to factormeals.com/NBN50 and use code NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NBN50 at factormeals.com/NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Yes, I'll just quote the last paragraph from the overview of this particular theme. New institutional perspectives are emerging from changes in technology, as well as better appreciation of human aspects of managing systems. There are trade-offs between internal efficiency and external legitimacy. Strategies to remain competitive could imply mimicking other strategies to gain legitimacy, but this mimicking may affect negatively intra-organizational relationships that are necessary to strengthen viability. And the viable systems model and approach are used as two conceptual frameworks for management. Requisite holism is argued. And I love this notion of playing on requisite variety to the notion of requisite holism.
Yes, I think this is something that, in fact, is very, very much connected to Matthias Malay from Slovenia. He has been working in this notion of requisite holism for a long while, and that makes it puts the emphasis on the system as a whole, and not strictly to specific relationships. That is what, for instance, I put my own work very much in the individual interactions. In this case, is the view of the organization as a whole that is concerned. But it is interesting that these ideas of resonance and consonance are very significant in all these. Resonance means whether the interactions with the environment are co-producing certain outcomes. And consonance is very much connected to the internal structure of the system and all the aspects of coordination that are significant to produce or having an effective organization.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. I want to leap just for a moment to theme four and then maybe double back to the ones in between the first one and this one, democracy, transparency, and social dynamics. Obviously, as you pointed out, these themes are all actually quite deeply interwoven. But I wanted to jump to this one because it speaks directly to the human aspects, but also because it is a theme that you were one of the chairs of the theme in your own particular contribution in terms of a paper presentation were inside this theme, democracy, transparency, and social dynamics. Can you say a little bit about what led to the formation of this theme and your own contributions to it in terms of what you proposed in your own paper?
Certainly. I think one of the significant outcomes of the work in Chile in the early 70s was a project that we call Cyber Folk. Now, Cyber Scene is the most recognized name for the work we did in Chile. But Cyber Folk was a very important development inside the overall project when we realized that the problem was to see how politicians and senior managers related to people, to citizens, and that led to this cyber folk, which was an interesting aspect of seeing from the perspective of variety how easy it was for people in management, the politicians and the experts, connecting with the people through, shall we say, easy media like television, while at the same time, the people who were the recipients of these policies and ideas were in a very difficult position to connect to the politicians. They didn't have equal access to the media, they didn't have equal access to television, of course, and the result was that they had the problem of being overwhelmed by the policies and ideas coming from the top, but with very limited capacity to provide feedback. Now, it was at that stage that we worked in Chile in the cyber folk, which was the use of certain devices put in the hands of the people so that they could move a knob and resulting from there could pass their appreciation of what they were hearing. And they were listening from the politicians. And there was a particular algorithm which connected the multiple views of people and produced an overall appreciation of the people to the policies that were being displayed. And that was a big screen in, shall we say, the television where they were broadcasting their policies. So it was interesting to see that at the same time that you had the propositions of the politicians, you had the responses of the people, and the aggregation of their responses were displayed in these screens in the television studio.
In the operations
and
room?
That,
and did they make their way to up?
No. That was in that the idea was the idea was to do it in the studio where the politicians talking about whatever policy. Mm-hmm. But what was interesting was that was a very, very innovative proposition in 1972. But clearly, the chances to make that proposition more manageable and effective were very limited. Mm-hmm. We developed the technology to make this kind of aggregation of views, the aggregation of the way people were receiving the policies. We developed the technology. We developed some of the algorithms for that, but only for a very, very limited number of people. So we were using that for about 20 people. Mm-hmm. And it was a way to, I remember, for instance, Heinz von Förster being one of the equivalent to a policymaker, talking in the equivalent place of the television studio and giving his descriptions of second order cybernetics and aspects of physics that he was very much involved in, and we, the 20 people sitting around the table there, had these knobs on our laps and saying, "Hell, I don't understand what is going on," and that immediately you could see that you were not alone in your views about that, because the screen where Heinz was operating could show that the level of appreciation understanding was perhaps not too high. But that was in a few occasions, because as you perhaps know very well, Heinz was an incredibly engaging commentator and exposer. And so in most occasions, our responses were incredibly positive. Mm-hmm. Now, that was the way the CyberFolk project evolved. And as time went by, the situation moved incredibly in the opposite direction, because we know now that big data has become a major aspect of our societies. We have algorithmic management and all of that, which is sending information data to everywhere in multiple forms. Mm-hmm. And so rather than the limited feedback that we had in those days in the early 70s, today we have an excessive feedback that makes issues like in the case of Brexit or the Trump election in the United States something that is very, very difficult to manage and to get things with good contribution of people in a democratic way. So it's possible to misuse the technology, to overemphasize certain interests and download others. So it was with those things in mind that democracy, transparency, and social dynamics were proposed as a themes for the Congress. And certainly, I think democracy is one of those aspects that is very dear to my own interests, and trying to find out how is it possible to reduce the negative impact of big data that we are experiencing today, and that by connecting data and algorithms to organizational structures that have the capacity to absorb the complexity that is being produced. And that was one of the major elements of my contribution to the Congress. Now, there were other people there, like Amanda Gregory and Zoraida Mendy-Welso, and also Danielle Boussier, who were very much interested in big data and in citizenship. Mm-hmm. So how is it that you improve the competencies and the strength of people's expressions of their own concerns and interests in their communities where they live? Empowerment, aspects of that were aspects of democracy and social dynamics that group was intending to contribute and to offer to the Congress. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the overall that is expressed in the theme 4 of the book that we are talking about.
Yes. It's interesting.
Perhaps let me just add one point that is important there. And I think one of the major aspects that is to understand better self-organization. Mm-hmm. So it is self-organization is very much connected to offering an alternative to control approaches. Mm-hmm. So self-organization is trying to get people to elaborate their own strategies to manage their interactions with others. And that is something that I would say democracy, transparency, and social dynamics need to clarify and use as far as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you take us right into the heart of some of the biggest challenges today, as you say, the glut of big data. And but it seems to go, again, right back to some of the issues you all grappled with at the heart of CyberSyn in terms of balancing variety, trying to make the management of the economy efficient, but at the same time not too top down, or, you know, assuage the fear of people that the idea of an ops room meant that there was a little group that had a kind of technocratic control. In this case, you know, in the modern sense of this people overwhelmed by the amount of data out there, trying to get, you know, what we might call expert voices, making sure they're loud enough, but then that gets us into the situation of, well, who decides who's the expert, et cetera, right? I mean, things I've read about CyberSyn also in terms of, you know, even deciding which are the indices of success that we're going to pay attention to or not. Ultimately, our decisions being taken by individuals, the incredible dance of variety balancing that has to go on seems to have been central to CyberSyn and still central to the stuff that you're working on today.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. And that is where you see the power of the ideas of Stafford's viable system and the ideas of Ashby's requisite variety. Mm-hmm. Because there is no doubt that people's contributions to this complex world in which we operate are connected to multiple forms of coordination, auditing, monitoring, which are helping to avoid centralization and are giving options for people to operate in a peer-to-peer situation. Mm-hmm. So that all had its origins in the CyberSyn project, and are aspects of the work that is progressing today, which in a way were these are aspects that were elaborated in WASC 2017 in different contributions. We saw, for instance, contributions about education. We saw contributions about empowering people, the aspects of ethics and so on that were proposed by several people in the Congress, which all in the end had to go back to the notions of managing variety.
Yes.
So that's where we are still seeing much of the work we did in those years being expressed today in a Congress like the WASC 2017.
Yes, and it's the education piece, obviously, really important. This is going to take me to a couple of questions about how, again, how these themes tend to sort of interweave with each other. But the idea that if ever there was a time in human history where cyber systemic tools had a major contribution to offer, had a role to play, I mean, in a sense, the tools were built for the future that the visionaries who developed this field, beginning with Norbert Wiener or in systems for von Bertalanffy or Rosen or others, they were building the tools for the future that we are now in, and that it must be also citizens who develop these systemic sort of awareness. And so the education piece is key. And I, across a few of the, many of the contributions and across a few of the streams, this notion of continuing to catalyze and through information communication technology, largely the three letters ICT show up rampantly throughout the book of information communication technology is sometimes thought of as the triple helix, or but this idea of business, government, educational systems, this kind of lateral distribution of information, decision making, information sharing, concept development, and continuing to use the gifts of the technology we have now to have these different segments that often work as silos, and going from a triple helix even to a quadruple helix or beyond. Can you say anything about that, about this notion of getting all these different sectors organized together and networked in a way that they can be taking these social and business decisions, as the subtitle of the book says, in a more coordinated way?
Yes, I think Karayiannis was the a major keynote speaker who actually produced this connection of the not only the triple helix, but he talks about the quadruple helix. And in a way, these are attempts that many people in academia and also in practice are trying to bring together different streams that in the traditionally have been seen as independent one of the other, but now they clearly see that aspects of government, politics, economics, education, technology, they're all intertwined and they need to be dealt with together. And that's one of the good, I think, contributions that was made during the Congress by Karayiannis, who is an academic from the George Washington University. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about knowledge for development, vision, systems perspective, challenges, and opportunities for theory, policy, and practice. Mm-hmm. And that's where, based on a good deal of empirical work, he has been putting together the different axes of this helix. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that again takes us back into the notion of human aspect of managing systems, because we are now, and that appears to be coming together in many of the contributions of the themes of this book and the themes that were discussed in WASC 2017. They are putting together very significant aspects of society, organization, and technology. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, at the end is very much connected to economics as well. Mm-hmm. So the notion of seeing how is it that different expressions of organization and technology come together in the ways in which policies are managed, are offered, are developed, is an aspect that I think is important that we continue to develop, because somehow we are interested to get people's involvement in all of these and not to have a strictly a top-down approach, which in the end will reduce, constrain people's behavior in a very significant way. So if we want to make use of all these aspects of the triple helix and all the rest, we need to develop further understanding of how they relate systemically. And that's one of the aspects that where we start to see in practice how systems and cybernetics come together.
Mm-hmm. This takes us nicely to the other theme that you were a key developer of, which is theme five, the interactions revolution. And we've already touched on a lot of the sort of concepts that interact with this, but the idea that we're undergoing a necessary revolution in the types of interactions that we can have and that we should have, and the increased speed of self-organizing processes in today's world. You talk about the focus on the fluid interaction in the age of digital technologies, and that I'm going to quote a bit from your introduction again. It offers a space for digital technologies and transdisciplinary conceptual frameworks to disclose self-organized organizational forms that are more likely to anticipate and respond to environmental, social, and economic changes. This is an interactions revolution towards distributed value co-production and guided self-organization. So can you say anything else you want to add? We've touched a lot of these themes obviously already, but anything else you want to add to this notion of an interactions revolution and how it's continuing to aid different types of self-organization?
I think it's very significant, very important to make the distinction between interactions and relationships. Now, relationships are very much the ways in which different agents come together and produce some kind of mutual understanding and mutual support. But when we go to the notion of interactions, we are saying, now, how is it that I manage the process of, or the agent manages the process to move from a particular objective or particular purpose that they may have in the interactions with, for instance, agents in the environment. And what happens most of the time is that this aspect of self-organization is over-controlled, over-managed by the top level of the organizational structure. It is managed by policymakers who define policies, and once they define these policies and they set up particular instruments to manage that, for instance, accounting procedures or aspects that organize the use of the resources. Once they define these from the top, they reduce the freedom and the capacity of expression of the local people, who in the end have to work with all the definitions and all the values that have been set up globally. That is a way of restricting freedom, is a way of restricting the capacity for people to express their own views, to express their own capacity to handle the issues that are relevant in the environment, and they have to put themselves under the definitions of the top. So this aspect of general definition of policies, centralized definition of policies. At the end of the day, they are triggers for some kind of self-organization, because there is no way in which policymakers, experts, will be in a position to define all these things in full precision. So if we defined an educational policy, it is clear that the multiple agencies that are somehow working in education will somehow find out ways of connecting with each other and produce certain results on certain outputs that relate to the interest of society to have education. So that once we do that from with the constraints and decisions from the top, and with the experts from the top defining all of these, we are reducing the capacity of local schools, of families, of the different individuals involved in the educational system to express themselves and respond to the problems that they face and recognize in the environment. So one of the arguments that we developed in the interactions revolution, but particularly it is developed in the special issue of futures, which I edited after the Congress, is precisely the idea that we need to support the capacity of the individuals to match variety in the environment with their own interests, with their own values, and they, as a result of that, they work out strategies to match varieties. And that is something that if they have the opportunity to express that locally with freedom, then they will develop their own competencies, and they will increase their response capacity no end compared to the situation where we are in a centralized, restrictive system of management, of organization. So is that balancing of, that's what I've been referring to as guided self-organization. Now, guided self-organization is where you put some general frameworks, but you allow people to express themselves locally and to find the solutions locally without being over restricted by the language, by the different definitions that come from the top. And that's where we increase the complexity of the situation, and we can give more capacity for problem solving. So that's what was very much involved in the, and particularly, I repeat, in connection to the futures, a special issue, is connected to creating a self-organization locally as much as at the general level.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, it requires individuals to build up their own capacities and their capacities for variety and their capacities for making distinctions. I think a lot about the work of Osvaldo Garcia de la Cerda and Maria Saavedra Ulloa and their work on inactive management, which had a huge impact on me being able to encounter that at WASC. And so this is, again, where systemics and the idea of organizational structure meets the kind of personal reflective capacities of second-order cybernetics in their work training managers to be more reflective and more able to question their own ontologies and epistemologies and open them up to new kinds of thinkings that then make new kinds of interactions even possible.
Absolutely. Inactive management is absolutely a very, very significant contribution that Osvaldo made to the Congress, I think, with his partners. It is clear that enacting is an expression of building up strength in the individual. And it is, that is necessary to make possible the response capacity to threats and opportunities that come from the environment. So in action and the building up of strengths around that is what I believe it complements very much the notions of self-organization I was talking about.
And by drawing attention to interactions the way you've done, I think another really marvelous contribution that makes is that, you know, the typical description of a system, definition of a system, is we talk about, as you say, elements and relationships. But the discussion of interactions has been left out of a lot of it, because that's a fairly static description. There are these elements and they have these relationships, and we know it's dynamic. And the dynamic thing is, as you say, are the interactions themselves. So it is an area of cyber systemics that requires this increased level of scrutiny and attention that you've brought to it.
I think so. I think you're absolutely spot on there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we've taken up a lot of your time. You've been very generous with your time. Thank you so much. There's so much else in this book, obviously over 600 pages. There's other themes on sustainability and the Anthropocene, a lot of interesting questions about does smartness, as in terms of big of smart cities, et cetera, is there an equation between smartness and sustainability? There's stuff on quantum modeling. There's a great section on systems dynamics where it's very specific case studies are using some of the more traditional tools going back to Jay Forrester and others, but on very, very specific cases. It really is a feast, and it'll give every practitioner and scholar out there many ideas for furthering their own work. So again, congratulations, and a special thanks to you. And again, you mentioned your Italian colleagues for getting this massive undertaking out through the Italian branch of Routledge. So our traditional final question, and I have some suspicion of the answer knowing how much it takes to organize a Congress, but what are you working on now?
All right, I'm working in many things, I can tell you, but before we get away from the WASC 2017, perhaps I would like to emphasize three of the themes there, which you have mm-hmm. been emphasizing yourself, but I want to put my own little grain into that.
Yes, please do. Please do.
I think clearly the theme related to reflexivity, second order cybernetics, and context with the contributions of Stuart Ampleby and Vladimir Lepsky. That theme is very important, and that is going to be a major aspect of WASC 2020, because both of them will be very much there. Mm-hmm. So it has also these ideas of reflexivity have a grounding in work in Russia. So Lefebvre was a very strong contributor to reflexivity. And yes. So I would like to emphasize that. The other thing that I felt was particularly innovative in connection to the Congress was quantum modeling. Quantum modeling mm-hmm. is something that I think is still in from the perspective of cyber systemics still in need of much development. We had a group of contributors there in quantum modeling, and Francois Dubois, and they were talking about aspects of aspects of quantum modeling of the learning quantum modeling of the learning curve by Klaus Otto Wehne, which is a very significant contribution to the notions of policy making in the transformation of energy systems from the traditional fuel-based energy to the more innovative technologies that we are wanting to have today. And so the quantum modeling was one of the contributors to the discussion of this issue in the Congress. Then there were contributions connected to the ideas of complexity that are not very easily recognizable, but that are very important. There was a contribution in Eigen logic, interpretable quantum observers or observables with the application of fuzzy behavior of vehicle robots. This was something that connected very, very advanced technology to cyber systemics and quantum theory. And the ideas of complexity that emerge from there, they offer a further development to the notions of the digital technology of zeros and ones, because somehow quantum is a far more flexible and distributed way of managing complexity. So the particular papers in the book related to these aspects of learning and complexity, I would put a lot of emphasis in and offer that to the potential readers of this this book. So those are two themes that I believe are important and that need to be further exposed there. And we have discussed most of the other themes, but perhaps the one that we haven't mentioned too much, though you have mentioned twice, only in name, the ideas of sustainability and the Anthropocene. Now, the ideas of the Congress had very significant contributors in terms of sustainability and the Anthropocene, including, for instance, one concrete example of sustainability, the Sustainability Laboratory and the project Wadi Atir in Israel by Michael Benelli. And that is showing how to increase the capacity of local people to sustain areas, geographic or areas of agricultural activity through sustainable laboratories. So, and in terms of the general presentation of the Congress, the ideas of Ray Eisen, Sandra Schlindwein, Markus Schoninger were quite significant in trying to connect the policies of natural resources to the current dire problems we have with sustainability.
I was just going to mention also the presentation and paper by Alfonso Reyes. You were mentioned in terms of talk about something that brings a lot of streams together, where he also has in Colombia has a laboratory of local self-organization, sustainability, interaction across educational versus business and local farmers. And it's quite a remarkable story he weaves about a systemic intervention that also ties a lot of these themes together.
Absolutely right. And what he makes apparent in his contribution there is that some of the policies that have been developed to increase the educational platform for people in local areas may have the counter effect of getting these people out of their natural environment and leading them to the bigger cities and reducing the capacity to handle self-organization at the local level. So that shows very, very practically, very clearly how the development of these educational policies in a particular community that he talks about, it may have led to that community losing people to the more attractive areas of the bigger cities.
Mm-hmm. It was a stunning presentation and an equally compelling paper in the book as well.
Mm-hmm. And again, there is a contribution by Alfonso in Futures. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so the fact that this also, as you mentioned off the top, spread out into three separate journals also shows you the incredible fertility and the great outpouring of inquiry and knowledge and expertise that that germinated through WASC. So a tremendous success all around, and we wish you all the best for Moscow, and I will of course see you there. Looking forward to seeing you again in person, and thanking you so much for taking this time to talk about this excellent book with our listeners. Thank you, Raoul. Yeah.